It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. State School Superintendent Tony Evers, a Democrat, defeated Republican incumbent Scott Walker by just over 1% in the gubernatorial election this week. The race for state attorney general was too close to call yesterday morning, although Democrat Josh Call has claimed victory. Republican Brad Schimmel, who's the incumbent attorney general, says he'll wait for the official canvass before conceding. We'll follow up on both of those races with WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White. What do you think about the close margins in Wisconsin's midterm elections, particularly for some of the statewide races? What questions do you have about races for governor and attorney general? You think there should be a recount in the race for attorney general or a recount in the race for governor? How do you think Wisconsin's governor and attorney general should work together? What would you like to see from those Wisconsin has elected? What are you hoping for going forward? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Laurel White, good morning. Welcome to the morning show again.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the gubernatorial race. For those who haven't heard, recap the vote totals for us.
Well, it was a pretty close race. The state school superintendent, Tony Evers, ended up prevailing by just about 1.2% of the vote, which is just outside that threshold we've been talking about over the last day or so for a recount in the state of Wisconsin.
And how does that compare to what the polls had predicted we would see?
Well, pretty close, actually. The last couple polls that we got showed the race in a pretty much a dead heat. Interestingly enough, this was the first time I had seen this as a state capitol reporter. I guess it had happened at least once before, but it was actually an exact tie in the final Marquette poll that came out on the governor's race, down to the number of people surveyed. The exact number said they were supporting the governor as Tony Evers. So a lot of people said on Tuesday night and yesterday morning that this was actually kind of a win for pollsters as well, in addition to the winning candidates, because they were pretty on with their predictions before Election Day.
And how did each of the campaigns respond to the results?
Well, you know, I was with the Evers campaign on Tuesday night, and it was a technically Wednesday morning by the time Evers and Mandela Barnes, the lieutenant governor-elect, took the stage to claim victory. And Evers gave a short speech, talked about how voters are ready for change in the state of Wisconsin after two terms of Governor Walker holding office. The Walker campaign, conversely, did not make an official statement with the governor on Tuesday night. The lieutenant governor, Rebecca Clayfish, came out and talked to supporters at Walker's party and said, "The fight's not over. We're going to wait for some additional information. Everybody head home." So it was kind of a pretty lopsided response, at least on Tuesday night, in terms of one campaign claiming victory and saying it was all wrapped up, and the other saying, we're going to hold on for a little bit before we say anything's official.
So then fast forward to what, about 9 o'clock yesterday morning?
Yep, 9 o'clock yesterday morning. Things started changing a little bit. That's when we actually heard from the Democratic candidate for attorney general. He weighed in on the race, so we had a bit of a change there. But the Walker concession in the governor's race didn't actually happen until I think it was around 12:30, or actually even a bit later. It was early afternoon, maybe around 1, that the governor officially conceded that race yesterday.
And Brad Schimmel, who is the Republican incumbent attorney general, he's not conceding anything yet. Josh Call claimed victory yesterday morning. We still have to wait. Who decides when the results of an election are called? When we hear mm-hmm. someone say, "Well, this election is called for so and so," who's actually mm-hmm. calling that? And then when is it official?
That is such an interesting question, and this is something that I'd be interested in doing sort of maybe a longer feature for at WPR at some point, because I think people are interested in this kind of behind-the-scenes sort of thing. So what we follow on WPR is the Associated Press calls on these races, and they're taking official results from election officials across the state, tabulating those, seeing where the votes are coming from. And then they have a set of experts that say, we have enough votes, or we have enough votes from specific areas that we feel comfortable calling this race. And then they say, you know, the race is called for so-and-so. Now, I had people tweeting at me on election night saying, you know, CNN has made different calls, or NBC News, or, you know, a variety of other media outlets, the New York Times. And that's because they each have their own set of experts, and they're collecting those original official results themselves from the election officials. So there could be kind of a difference. And I think that that can be a bit confusing for folks on election night, that these different organizations are calling the races at different times. But of course, they're all getting their information from the same place. They're just analyzing it at different speeds and have different people making the call.
Maybe a different computer algorithm or something like that.
Right.
Or, I don't know, somebody had a bad sandwich at lunch.
Right.
Sometimes it just seems like alchemy more than anything else. So what makes it official in Wisconsin that somebody is certified the winner of an election?
So it's official, a few weeks after the election. And this is kind of a wonky process. Basically, what happens in Wisconsin is that there are these boards of canvassers, and they convene starting next week to go over all of the results. I believe it's a 3-member team in each county in Wisconsin. They go over the results. They make them official. They certify them, is what it's called. Then they send them to the state elections commission. Then in turn, the elections commission reviews everything and certifies them. So the deadlines on those two things, I'm going to try to get this right. It's late November for the boards, the county boards of canvassers, and then actually early December, I believe, for the state elections commission. Now, those are just the deadlines. It can end up being wrapped up sooner than that, of course.
Sure. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's state capitol reporter. What do you think about the close margins in Wisconsin's midterm elections? And what questions do you have about the races for governor and attorney general? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. What are people saying about what the change in leadership from Republican to Democrat at the governor's level means for Wisconsin? Were voters just ready for a new governor? Or is it more complicated than that?
Oh, gosh. I think it's always more complicated than whatever the one individual question is. You know, we had a number of issues that were floating around in this race. The things that really kind of rose to the top were healthcare, transportation, the road funding debate that we've had in Wisconsin. And then, of course, education, because Superintendent Tony Evers is that education policy expert, of course, being the head of state schools since 2009. And the governor had touted his increases to education in the last budget. So there were a lot of things swirling around in this race. And I think it's also interesting to note that, you know, it was an incredibly close race. And I think that that's something that Republicans are going to be pointing to after Evers takes office, saying this wasn't a mandate, this wasn't an incredibly decisive win for Evers, and Republicans owe it to those voters to represent their positions going forward.
Laurel White is WPR State Capitol reporter. She stays with us to recap races for governor and attorney general. We'll talk about the attorney general race in just a moment. We asked listeners how they're feeling about the election results. We had a tweet from Mark who says, hopefully we are now headed toward more civil discourse and coming together for the common good. What do you think? 800-642-1234. We have a line for you right now. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. See you. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Democrat Tony Evers defeated Republican incumbent Scott Walker by just over 1% in the gubernatorial election this week. The race for state attorney general even closer, too close to call as of yesterday morning, although Democrat Josh Call claimed victory. Republican Brad Schimmel says it appears like Call has won, but he'll wait for the official canvass before conceding. We'll follow up on both of those races with WPR state capitol reporter Laurel White. What we're wondering about is how you feel about what happened on Tuesday. What do you think the close margins in those midterm elections mean for the governor, the attorney general, and other statewide offices? What questions do you have about the races for governor and attorney general? Do you think there should be maybe a recount? And how do you think Wisconsin's officials should work together going forward? What do you want to see them get done? 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Laurel White, WPR's state capitol reporter, is with us. Laurel, let's take a phone call. John calls us from Sturgeon Bay this morning. John, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Hi, good morning. Just a comment. I think one of the things that Tony Evers said initially, I think just yesterday, was that he wants to take the fringe out of this governorship and really not address both far right and far left initiatives. And I think that was embraced a little bit by Robin Voss. And I think that's the one thing that for people like me really has created a lot of divisiveness, has been just that real hard commitment to, deregulation, EPA, economy at all costs kind of mentality that really has, not to mention on the federal level, the lack of decency and just being a good person has just kind of gotten thrown out the window. And that's where I haven't been willing to budge a bit. So, I think that is a step in the right direction.
Thanks, John, for that comment. Laurel White?
Yeah, that's an interesting comment and definitely something that Evers campaigned on indirectly and kind of directly. I think a lot of people talked about how his personality is different than other politicians we've seen in the past, more of that soft-spoken, less confrontational kind of politician. And that was actually a concern some Democrats raised early on in the race, whether he was going to be able to be confrontational enough with Governor Walker as the race kind of progressed. But as the caller mentioned, this is something that I think a lot of people in Wisconsin are excited to see, hopefully a little bit more civility in the state capitol, a little bit more bipartisan cooperation. It's definitely going to be an interesting dynamic to see how Evers interacts with the state legislature, which of course still has Republican majorities.
Well, let's keep in mind that the state legislature leadership didn't always get along all that well with Scott Walker. So,
That's right.
Especially on transportation, they butted heads quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So, maybe things will be different. You never know, I guess. Well, let's turn to the Attorney General's race now, which was one of the closest this election. First, let's start with a recap. We don't have an official winner yet, do we, or do we?
We don't. We don't have official winners until that whole canvas process is done in a couple weeks. But we do have the calls made by the media organizations, like the Associated Press, etc. Mm-hmm. The race has been called for the Democrat, Josh Call. He claimed a victory yesterday morning at around 9 a.m. And actually, the incumbent Attorney General, Brad Schimmel, did call him to concede. But Schimmel saying it's, not.
Laurel, I think we lost you. 800-642-1234. Oh, now Laurel is back. Okay, this is the vagaries of electronics are plaguing us again. So you say that Brad Schimmel did call Josh Call to concede?
He did. He called him yesterday saying that, he's waiting until the official results come in. But he did concede the race and said that, he's going to offer support moving forward.
What was the margin in the attorney general's race at the end?
Oh, just tiny. It was even closer than the governor's race. And that's why it was, slower to be called than the governor's race. So we're talking about, those one percentage point margins. Okay. That we saw there.
Has there been any talk of a recall, or was it outside the margin where we could get one?
It was outside the margin. Okay. So there, it was part of the discussion, of course, but it didn't end up being possible there.
All right. Let's take another phone call. Bob is with us in Spooner. Bob, go ahead. You're on the morning show.
Hi. I wasn't really calling about the attorney general's race. You'd asked for general reaction.
Sure.
To the governor's race.
That's perfectly fine. Go ahead.
I'm an educator, and I guess I just wanted to say that I think I and many educators in the state are happy with the results of the election. You know, for Scott Walker to claim that he was the education governor was false. I think most educators saw that. He did put money back into education with the last budget, but he took a lot more than that out in the previous 7 years of his administration. And he really didn't do anything authentic or positive for education in the state of Wisconsin. And I think hopefully we'll see a better result, and I trust that we will with Tony Evers sitting in the state house.
Bob, thanks for that call. Laurel White, you had a chance over the course of the campaign to talk to a lot of people about this. How typical do you think Bob's reaction would be among educators?
Oh, I think very, very typical, consistent with what we've heard from a lot of educators in Wisconsin. And as I mentioned before, this was a huge issue in the race. Evers actually introduced his budget proposal a couple months ago to give us a clear idea of how he would make changes to state spending in education if he were elected. He's talked about going back to that two-thirds funding model where the state contributes two-thirds of the funding to local schools and making big investments in things like early childhood education and mental health. So he does have proposals for pretty large spending increases in education going forward. And he has that veto power after the legislature passes the budget, so he can make sure those things are in there.
You mentioned the two-thirds funding thing. Did the state ever actually do that? I mean, that was supposedly the promise when the controls went in to bring property taxes down. But did the state actually ever get to two-thirds funding?
You know, I know that it was law at one point that it had been passed and was a requirement, and then had been and then was repealed and became more of a guideline than a law.
Yeah.
I know that it's something that the state certainly hasn't done in recent years.
Right.
So it would be a change to get back to that under an Evers administration.
Have we heard from the state's political leaders, the party leaders, who's weighing in on the races? And was there any national comment?
Well, we heard from the party leaders here in Wisconsin. I think for me, it's been interesting to get the response from the legislative leaders in the Capitol because of those GOP majorities and what that means for legislation moving forward. We heard from Speaker Voss yesterday, who has a very sizable majority in the Assembly. He says he's looking forward to working with Evers, but he also mentioned that it's possible that lawmakers could come back before January to make some changes to state laws before Evers is inaugurated. And interestingly, he floated the idea of maybe making some changes to executive power and limiting potentially some of the powers of the governor. So I think that's a conversation and an issue that we're going to be looking at in coming days.
Let's go back to the attorney general race for just a moment when we don't have a lot of time left. This is, of course, a Justice Department position. Candidates usually campaign on issues related to criminal justice. What did we see from this race? Was the focus on criminal justice, or if not, where was it?
Well, there was a discussion about those rape kits that we've heard about, the speed of the testing of rape kits in Wisconsin, the crime lab, and how quickly it's been processing things. Those are things that Schimmel had criticized the incumbent, Call had criticized Schimmel, the incumbent, over. So there were criminal justice issues, certainly, that were a part of it. But I think healthcare was a really big part of the attorney general's race, as it was a lot of races this year. There was a lot of discussion of the state being a leader in a federal lawsuit that's seeking to overturn the Affordable Care Act. And Schimmel spoke in defense of that, while Call said that he would remove the state from its involvement in that lawsuit.
How do you think the offices of attorney general and, how do the offices of attorney general and governor work together?
Well, the governor is the office that authorizes lawsuits like that. So there was a lot of speculation if Evers was the governor and Schimmel maintained his office, how that interaction would work in terms of the different lawsuits that the state gets involved in challenging federal policies. That's something that AGs have been doing increasingly in recent years. So I think the fact that we're moving forward, it looks like with a Democratic governor and a Democratic AG, they're going to have more cooperation in terms of what they challenge on a federal level. and what they agree with.
We had a tweet from Kevin, and we're almost out of time here, but I wanted to get this in. Kevin tweeted, "I'm hopeful there will be some bipartisanship in figuring out our transportation funding. A 5 to 10 cent increase in the gas tax would go a long way." What's your sense, Laurel, at how a gas tax increase would be received in the legislature?
You know, I think that that's something that looks more possible than other things. That's something that Republicans had pushed for in the last budget, and that's something that Evers has said he's open to. So I think that's definitely within the realm of possibility.
Well, we might see him all get together and hold hands and pass a gas tax. Wouldn't that be lovely? Laura White, thanks so much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laura White is WPR State Capitol reporter. Coming up next, we dive into voter turnout. Who voted? How did the urban vote compare to the rural vote? We'll find out more next on The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Wisconsin voters turned out in a big way on Tuesday as voter participation reached its highest level in a midterm ever, according to unofficial returns from the Associated Press. We talk with a political science professor about the issues and candidates that drove people to the polls on Tuesday, how that differed by age, race, religion, region, what all it means in the great scheme of things. What drove you to the polls on Tuesday? Was there a key issue or candidate that you were most keen on weighing in on at the ballot box? Don't be shy. Tell us, was maybe this the first time you ever voted? What was the thing that pushed you over the edge and got you to the polls this time? Share your stories about voting at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can email them to us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Paru Shah is an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Paru, welcome to the morning show.
Thanks for having me.
The New York Times said that the number of votes cast for the U.S. House was 114 million, surpassing even its high expectations. Turnout in 2014, by comparison, only 83 million. How did the turnout in these elections strike you?
It was remarkable. I think the 30 million increase across the table is something to take in and be a little bit in awe of. And I do think, I just heard you asked the question, like, why did people vote? And I think the issues and the candidates were really driving people this election year to the polls. And there was a lot of mobilization efforts by community organizations that seemed to have worked.
Were there any issues in particular you think that that made people say, you know what, I'm going to the polls and vote this time?
Well, I think it's two things. One, midterm elections are always a check on the president and the last 2 years of office. And so I think Donald Trump, definitely his politics and policies over the last 2 years, brought both Republican and Democrats out. And in terms of issues, I think the number one issue that we heard quite clearly was health care and concerns from Americans across the partisan spectrum about health care issues.
800-642-1234, the number to call. What drove you to the polls? Share your story with us. Why did you vote this year? Maybe you didn't vote in the last midterm. Why did you vote this time? What was it that made you decide to cast your ballot, regardless of who you cast it for? 800-642-1234. In some states, like Wisconsin, we saw record-breaking voter turnout. In Wisconsin, 2.7 million people voted on Tuesday. That's the most ever for a midterm election here. And I'm wondering what regions of the state we saw the most significant gains in turnout.
Well, we definitely saw Milwaukee and Madison and the big cities come out in larger numbers than they had in previous times. And again, I think this is a testament to, one, mobilization efforts, and two, the expansion of registration opportunities for individuals, so the online registration that people had, and the early voting. I really think that we saw record numbers of early voters here in Wisconsin, and I think what I heard was three times as much. as 2016. And so I think that's another thing that that structural change has really been good for bringing out voters.
The numbers that I looked at, Dane County was up 17%, 14% in Milwaukee County, Waukesha an increase of 9%. Those numbers reflecting what went on in the rest of the state as well, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, again, this was an election with the governor's race and some really tight Senate races where people were, again, the issues and the candidates were bringing people out in record numbers.
And how did the, let's talk about the urban parts of the state in terms of how those votes came down. What percentage of people in, say, Dane County voted for Republicans versus Democrats?
I think we saw similar margins that we saw in 2016 in terms of those breakdowns. And so if for the counties that went traditionally for Trump, we saw those counties continue to go Republican, and then places like Milwaukee and Madison have really strong margins for the Democrats. I think the thing that we noticed across the state was that some of those margins diminished a little bit. And so that's, I think, again, another important thing to think about in terms of Wisconsin, given 2016 being in some ways an anomaly in terms of a presidential election, and whether or not we're going to see kind of trends towards Wisconsin going Republican for presidents in the future.
Well, certainly, if you look at the map and the way the votes came down, you had this giant, amount of red, and then these little islands of blue in the more urban areas, that's a trend that we expect to continue. Then,
yeah, and I think it's not just Wisconsin. I mean, when you look at the map of the whole country, it's very, very similar. Very urban places with more population, higher density populations going Democratic and pulling the votes from those very dense places in than a sea of red where we have much more rural areas going for Republicans. And, you know, again, this, I think, also speaks to then what we found in terms of the House versus Senate seats that were picked up by Democrats. It wasn't surprising, I think, to most political scientists that House seats that are much more driven by population size went for the Democrats, and the Senate was able to retain their stronghold.
Well, and particularly since the Democrats had to defend Senate seats in states that went pretty heavily for Donald Trump in the last presidential election. Let's take a phone call here. Dawn is with us in West Bend. Dawn, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I was so excited at our polling place in West Bend. The line for new voters was longer than the line for people actually voting that had voted before.
And Dawn, thanks for sharing that. So, Parusha, that was typical across the state then? A lot of new voters?
Yeah, and again, I think this is a testament to the ways in which same-day registration can really affect an election because we have the ability to do that, because we know people know that if they hadn't already registered to vote that they would have the opportunity to do so that same day, I think really expands the electorate and brings up voters who might not have otherwise shown up.
We're talking about voter turnout in this week's midterm election in Wisconsin. Paru Shah is an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Wondering what drove you to the polls. Was it an issue? Was it a candidate? Maybe you were a first-time voter. Maybe you sat the last election out. What was it that caused you to get off the sidelines and into the game this time? Share your story with us, as Dawn just did, at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. 642-1234. You can also use email. The address is ideas@wpr.org, or just tweet us at WPR Mornings. Paru, what do we know about the demographic breakdown of voters who came out for the midterms in Wisconsin?
Well, I think nationally, and I think that Wisconsin had some similar influence, there was a lot of movement, particularly around from women and people of color, to be more Democratic and vote more likely for the Democratic candidate. Whereas one of the things that people had been wondering is, what are white college-age women college-educated women going to do in the suburbs? Again, based on what happened in 2016, this was a group that people were really interested in knowing what their where their votes were going to be cast. And I think we saw them again move towards the Democratic side, but still stay pretty solidly even, I would say, between Republican and Democrats. I think a little bit of movement, and I would argue that this is not necessarily unusual for a midterm election where the party in control loses some seats and people move a little bit back towards what ends up being a more centrist position. And so I think we saw that here in Wisconsin as well.
Let's take another call. This time it'll be Jamie in Green Bay. Jamie, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead.
I think people came out in big numbers because of their passion and because they were so passionate about their cause and their candidate. So you look at O'Rourke, who filled stadiums full of people, you know, down in Texas. And then on election night, I heard Andrea Mitchell from NBC say something to the effect of how Trump supporters would follow him over a cliff. So it goes on both sides. So I think it's that there is just so much passion for our candidates, which is great for voter turnout. Which what concerns me about that is that I think we're going to see a harder time for people to come together and find a middle ground on issues, and it could make it more challenging to actually get things done.
All right. Thanks, Jamie, for sharing that with us. Paru, people passionate about their candidates, and that's what drove them to the polls. Would you agree with that?
I definitely think the candidates and the issues are always significant drivers for people to show up at the polls. And I think that caller's comment about the increased polarization is spot on. I think we see more and more of very ideologically conservative and ideologically progressive candidates not speaking to common ground, but really speaking to these very specific agenda items. And people get very excited about that. But I think she brings up the good point of, so now they're elected to office, and we know that they're going to have to work together on some of these issues. Are they going to be able to find that common ground? And I think that is a concern, particularly since we haven't seen that happen in the last few years.
Paru Shah stays with us as our conversation continues about turnout. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what we learned from exit polling about who voted for Governor Walker and who didn't vote for Governor Walker this time around, who supported him before. That's just one of the things we'll talk about. We'll also take some more calls from people who want to tell us why they went to the polls this time. Maybe you voted for the first time in your life. What was that experience like? How did you feel afterwards? Maybe you didn't vote in the last midterms and you voted this time. What was it that got you off the sidelines? Give us a call and let us know. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Wisconsin voters turned out in record midterm numbers this week, and we're talking about why. What drove you to the polls on Tuesday? Did you have friends and family members who were suddenly very mobilized by this election in a way you hadn't seen them before? Now, what do you think got them involved this time around? Did you decide to maybe sit out this midterm? Why was that? Was it a barrier to voting, indecision, inconvenience? Tell us. We want to hear from you. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Paru Shah is an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and she's with us as we kind of parse these numbers a little bit. Paru, exit polls show that Governor Walker lost votes from independents and college graduates this time around compared to 2014 when he was reelected. What's your reaction here?
I think this is part of a larger trend of again, the polarization that's happening. So I would say that independents, right, are people who we see as either leaning left or right, depending on the issue. And here we found that in this climate, in this political climate, they were not less willing to stick with the governor and moved farther away from, again, I think the larger trend of people kind of across the board moving more towards the Democratic Party. I think the education gap is really interesting, and again, something that people have been talking about, in particular something that's been growing in the last couple of years consistently across the country, this idea that college-educated individuals are moving again towards the Democrats and less than college-educated individuals are staying with the Republicans. And I think this education gap, kind of similar to the urban-rural gap and other things that people are talking about that became pretty clear in this last election again, are things that people are going to get concerned about, given what I had said earlier about this idea of how do we then come together when we know we need to act, when we need to make policy. So getting elected is just part of the battle. Once we are in office, how are we going to actually make things happen?
Let's hear from Sarah in Madison. Sarah, yes, there we go. Now we got it. Got the right button pushed. Sarah, welcome to the morning show.
Hi. Thanks for having me. So I was just thinking, I am a student at UW-Madison, and I think this year more than ever, I saw a lot of political activism, especially on campus. I've been a part of a few elections on campus, but I think the drive this election was mostly based off of the attitudes that are in the community, and particularly Donald Trump's rhetoric and how these issues are stated more bluntly than ever. I think this also transfers over to state lines where you really figure out the issues that are at hand, especially with young voters.
All right. Sarah, thanks for sharing that with us. Parusha, the students, voters looking at a lot of issues, do you think Sarah's pretty typical?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, the 18 to 24-year-olds have historically had low voter turnout, and this is a group that both sides, all parties, are trying to mobilize because they constitute a significant portion of the electorate, particularly in places like Madison. And I do think that the issues are really driving them this year to the polls. Things that I heard on campus in particular at UWM was around education, and this goes to the governor's race. Both gubernatorial candidates talked about being the education governor. And I think students, particularly college-age students, have been feeling the effects of different policies on their actual experience. And so that's another way to really get them motivated to show up to the polls.
Did we see a divide between the way men and women voted in the gubernatorial race?
Yeah, I mean, women, again, went more for Tony Evers than men did. And I think this is part of a national trend that we've been seeing of women moving towards the Democratic Party.
Let's bring Dale in Eau Claire into our conversation. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning. I just wanted to make the comment where I'm from Eau Claire, and I went to my polling place and I voted. And like the previous caller said, the registration line was pretty long. I heard a lot of people talking, younger people that were talking that they're there because of the marijuana referendum that was on the ballot. And I just kind of smiled and thought, well, okay, I guess that's a good reason to vote. But for me, I voted Tony Evers this time around. I could get behind him. I support him and what his ideas are in education and such. He is an educator. I did support Scott Walker last three elections. And I couldn't find myself going into a ballot and casting my vote to vote for somebody just because it wasn't Scott Walker. I could not get behind Tom Barrett or Mary Burke. But this time around, I got behind Evers. And basically, I was a registered Republican, but I'm never going to vote Republican again. That's all I have to say. I'll listen off the air.
All right. Thank you. Dale, thanks so much. Paru, Dale saying, hey, he supported Scott Walker before. He couldn't get behind the candidates who ran against him, but this time he went for Tony Evers. How often did we see that kind of thing happen in Wisconsin this week?
Well, I think that's one of the interesting things that people were looking at, particularly with the difference in vote margins, for example, with Tammy Baldwin versus Tony Evers. And this idea that there would be people who would vote for Scott Walker and Tammy Baldwin. And I would say that, and maybe, or like switch parties, as that caller just said, I do think that the longer you're in office, the more people are going to be looking to see it, look to your record and say, all right, so have you done what you said you're going to do? I think that caller actually made a really great point about one of the concerns that any party has to have is people aren't going to just vote against a candidate. You really need to put up a candidate that people can feel confident about, excited about voting for. And so I think what ended up happening was that maybe people have been unhappy with some of the policies that Scott Walker has put out there, or the way the state is going, but never felt like we had a good candidate who would be the better choice. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of the things that we saw here as well. He definitely lost some of his voters, given the tallies, but it wasn't in the margins that you would, in significant margins. I mean, I would say that there's still a significant divide in our state. I mean, a very close divide, obviously, based
right.
on the turnout about how people feel about both of those candidates.
1.2% margin, that's not a whole
yeah.
lot of votes.
Right.
Let's take a call next from Casey in Juneau. Casey, welcome to the morning show.
Hey, thanks. I'm 38 years old and a first-time voter, and I was concerned about the property taxes being unfrozen, just property taxes and any taxes going up in general. So that got me out to vote because as a homeowner, I don't want to fund somebody else's dreams. You know, I got my own to pursue. That's why I voted this year and first time.
Okay. 38 years old, first time voting. A lot of first time voters this time, Parusha.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, he's talking about, I think, what really gets people motivated, again, is this personal, like, feeling of how is this going to affect me? How are the policies going to affect me personally? And, you know, it's interesting, the healthcare conversation really drove a lot of what people were talking about in terms of issues for the last few weeks. But traditionally, economics and personal, like, taxes have always been drivers as well. And I think that he's speaking to this, the notion that people feel really strongly about finding the candidates that are going to connect with them and say, okay, so I know this is an issue for you, and I'm going to care about that.
What kind of message does this increased turnout send to politicians about the kinds of campaigns they run in the future?
I think also, fantastic question. I think the idea that we could, but you know, these are elections that people don't need to necessarily be as concerned about. We're only going to have the diehards show up, I think, is something that's hopefully on a trajectory to change. I don't think we're going to be at presidential levels anytime soon, but 30 million extra additional votes is nothing to scoff at. And so I think this is a signal, I would say, to both parties and to candidates that the ability to bring out the vote, mobilize voters, is something that any candidate, if a candidate can do that well, even ones that are non-traditional, which we saw a lot of those candidates this year, they're able to actually win those elections. And so the idea that there are unwinnable candidates or unwinnable districts, I think, is much more in question.
Parusha is an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Thank you, Paru. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm John Munson. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.